Chapter 156. Transfiguration is tricky. Harry let himself into Professor Snape's office, closed the door behind him, and turned around. Light came from the fireplace. Professor Snape was still a statue. Harry sat down in an armchair across from the kneeling, haggard form and eyed him. "Would it be disrespectful to put a sheet over him?" he asked Draco. The horror having worn off, the whole thing was mostly worrying and depressing in equal measure. Professor Snape's office, fire lit, was a comforting and familiar place, its occupant aside. The creepy things in jars seemed to welcome Harry home. Draco was lying on the floor next to the statue for whatever reason. "Absolutely, Harry. Put a sheet over him." "No need to be cross about it." "I'm tired. You make me tired. And this entire project makes me tired. Why are you here?"
"To check on him? And you?"
"I can't turn him back yet, but Professor McGonagall seems confident I'll be able to in time. Go away." Harry eyed Draco, who was still lying on the floor as if struck down by his own life, blonde hair spread across the dark flagstones in a soft, pale wave. It would have been an attractive picture if Draco wasn't whining again.
"I would have thought she'd just take care of it," Harry said after a bit, eyeing Draco.
"Apparently, mixing transfiguration with dark magic is the sort of thing only a student would come up with, because anyone with a solid understanding would know that dark magic creates permanency, and the last thing you want with transfiguration is permanency." Harry was not sure he understood that, but nodded anyway. Draco continued, "So she set me to unraveling it as a punishment, with pointed comments that perhaps joining the Death Eaters and petrifying the staff expert on dark curse removal was not very clever. Also, she keeps patting me on the head and calling me a good boy. I hate my life."
"Professor McGonagall pats you on the head and calls you a good boy?"
Harry tried to visualize this and failed.
"She's been rather worried about Professor Snape," Draco explained. "She says that at least this way she knows where he is and that he's not getting into more trouble. Did you know she's taking this semester as an opportunity to single-handedly steal the house cup from Slytherin?"
Harry had, indeed, noticed the drastic reversal in fortunes in the giant hourglass tracking the house cup, but had decided that it was his duty as sort of headmaster to be biased towards his own house.
"I hadn't noticed, no."
"Liar. Just the way you haven't noticed our amateur Quidditch tournament."
"I'm your teacher, you know. I can assign you homework. Or detention."
"Try it, Potter." Draco looked at him sharply, suddenly. "Here? Now? What are you doing wearing your own face around the place? Not that it's not an improvement, but it's not safe."
"You care. I'm touched."
"It's not safe for me," Draco clarified with a hiss. Harry hummed agreeably.
"Polyjuice may or may not be addictive, so on weekends I'm using my own face and my invisibility cloak."
Draco sat up abruptly, shaking out his wand, and turned to the selection of rocks and beetles in a cage on the desk.
"Right, back to work."
"What? Why now?"
"I have a very clear impression of how Professor Snape will react if I let him stay stoned long enough for you to develop potions addictions and other bad habits before he has a chance to deal with them. He will blame me, and I do not want him blaming me, Harry. I will not have it."
Harry tried to figure out if he should rein in this spurt of inspiration and decided to egg it on instead.
"I've also been picking fights with Snatchers and Alistair Moody," he offered.
Draco growled, very much like an angry cat, and flicked his wand savagely at a stone teacup without words. It turned into a teacup. They both stared at the teacup, which seemed perfectly normal. Blue and white china, in a handsome pattern of little flowers.
"I thought they exploded," Harry asked.
"They do. They did. This one didn't. Why?" Harry grabbed Draco's shoulder before he could sink dramatically back to the ground again.
You cast it silently, Harry offered. You don't usually do that. I have the verbal incantation for the reversal wrong, Draco breathed. I must have, of course. I just have to figure out what the right incantation should be. Draco smiled brilliantly at him, pale gray eyes warm and alive, blonde hair tousled, and then ran out of the room as if chased by hippogriffs. Harry watched him go, feeling strange. Strange and hopeful. Despite this immediate progress, it still took until nearly Easter for all the necessary preparations to be made. Once Professor Snape was defrosted, so to speak, they would have only seconds to halt the flow of blood, administer antidotes and healing potions, and bolster him against shock. There would be after effects of dark magic, of snake poison, and probably some of the telltale problems of time travel. Madame Pomfrey, much engaged in the problem, helpfully lent Harry a number of books on how to orient time travelers. Meanwhile, the war dragged on. Except it seemed less and less like a war, and more like an aggressive stalemate every day. The Death Eaters were in a holding pattern. The Ministry had finished its initial purge of Muggleborn, and had no idea what else to do with itself. And the Muggleborn army had finished securing their hiding places, and were settling in. Harry and Hermione let the Order supervise, more and more overwhelmed by Hermione's brilliant idea to catch up on newts, and Harry's brilliant idea to teach classes at the same time. Ron, also caught up in Hermione's brilliant idea to catch up on newts, broke what had been an uneasy sort of silence with Harry to confide, "I wouldn't go along with it, but Mum's so happy with it, I can't argue. You just want Hermione to go out with you." Harry marked another essay. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Professor Snape's grading methods did come in handy sometimes. Well, sure, but not while she looks like that, I don't. Harry glanced up at Hermione. She looked quite normal. Red hair, severe expression. Oh. Oh, right. Ron patted him on the shoulder. Sometimes I really worry about you. I'm doing better, Ron, really. Harry no longer felt so strange and distant from his fellow human beings. It hadn't been a bad feeling, but he was glad it was wearing off. I can tell, but you'll take me with you next time, won't you? Harry froze for just a moment. But what answer could he give? Of course, Ron. I promise. Ron nodded, satisfied with his place in the world, and went back to revising for charms.